Coming up in a few minutes on Air Talk, Los Angeles Times columnist Pat Morrison, area codes and why we're so finicky about which area code we get. People will go to great lengths to try and have a certain one assigned. We'll find out why and how area codes can be linked to identity. But right now, it's another LA Times columnist, prep sports columnist Eric Sondheimer, who joins us to talk about the challenge for high school students who would use their performances on the field, on the court, in meets, to get the attention of colleges, possible scholarships or admission to schools they wouldn't otherwise be able to consider. Eric, so good to have you with us. This obviously an enormous challenge for many of these athletes. Elaborate on that, please.
Yeah, it really is unprecedented because everything was shut down about March 11th, and that did away with spring and summer activities. And at the same time, college recruiters were stuck on their campuses. They weren't allowed to go out and see anybody. And youth sports has not been allowed until January 25th, when they started to allow sports like cross country in the purple tier. So no football, no basketball, no softball, no volleyball. So the parents have been in panic mode trying to figure out a way for their kids to try and get to the school that they want to, who are seniors and maybe weren't recruited last year. And also it affects the juniors for this coming year because they're left out there what to do. They would go to a camp. They would go play in club competitions. The answer that some of these parents have done is to take their kids out of state to go to states that are allowing competitions to play there. But then you have to have money to travel on planes and on or drive somewhere and stay in hotels. You're also threatening your health by going to certain travel. That's where COVID-19 can certainly occur. And then you have others that are playing, they're holding illegal club competitions in California against the state guidelines. Nobody's really shutting them down too much. They've had a month of 11-on-11 club football going on in Chino, certainly against club guidelines, state guidelines, but that's what parents need to do. They want to get their kids exposed on film so they can send it out to college recruiters.
Well, and on the flip side, I don't know how plugged in you are on the college side, but how are they identifying prospects to offer scholarships if all, you know, that's going to be available to them are, you know, the kids who come from enough money that their parents can get them on travel or club league teams. And then you've got all these talented kids whose parents don't have that means who maybe there isn't tape of them.
Exactly. And that's where you have the equity problem. There's a bunch of people being left behind and they're stuck. But they are taking chances on kids that they don't even know how much they've grown in the past year because they haven't seen them. So these kids are going to show up at the colleges and the coaches could be a bit surprised. They're not getting what they thought they were getting because, again, the football coaches weren't allowed to go out for spring training and these kids will not have played in 2 years sometimes. So, yeah, that's the other issue. I think you'll see a lot more transfers. That's why college has the transfer portal. There's thousands of kids in the transfer portal now for colleges, and there'll be even more after this year when people find out that they didn't like the college. You know, all these people go into these colleges, they don't even step foot on the colleges. They're doing virtual tours, so they may not like it when they get there.
Well, and with all these kids who are going to be walking on potentially, you know, there's significant risk for them because, you know, they're not starting with any scholarship, of course, and that's totally a prove-it proposition.
Right. That their chances of earning a scholarship are far less because everybody who played college sports this year gets another year, so they're mostly coming back. So it's going to be very hard to get a spot on a team. So everything is kind of messed up. I just hope that we have a chance to return high school sports this fall, if that's what it takes. I know people are working very hard to try and return it now. And the governor Newsom today had some talks that was a little bit positive and he's being sued and all that. But it's still a hard task to do when we still don't know for sure that if the numbers are really going to keep going down for COVID-19.
We should just briefly mention that lawsuit. It did come up, as you said, in the governor's news conference about an hour ago. Two high school student athletes in San Diego are seeking immediate return to competition in the lawsuit. And so the governor was asked about whether he's been talking with youth sports leaders, whether he would support any change allowing high school and other youth sports leagues to perhaps beginning sooner. He said they've been in direct conversations, but at least, Eric, I didn't hear any sort of firm commitment about that.
No, it wasn't firm, but he did say he's hopeful of a compromise in the tier system, and that's what the coaches want. Football right now is in the orange tier. There's no way they're going to make that close to that in Los Angeles County or many other counties. If it goes to the red tier, then that's a possibility in like Orange County and Ventura County. Again, I think there's an equity issue here. What are people going to say when Orange County high school teams are playing and Los Angeles County teams in like South LA are not? That's an equity issue there, and that's going to come up down the road.
Eric, you also have raised the issue, which I think is so important, that for many students, athletics are really the connector emotionally for them in the school experience. If they didn't have athletics, they would be indifferent students in many cases. They wouldn't feel the sort of, you know, the confidence building, the sense of smaller community on the campus that they get from being part of a team at school. And that this serves a very important function within schools.
Absolutely. And the damage is incredible. Just think of all the incoming freshmen, the freshmen who are in schools right now. They would all be going out to learn about themselves, to meet new friends, to try to see if they like a particular sport. That freshman year is crucial. It's an experiment to see what you can do in high school. And nobody's been able to have that. There's no on-campus learning, pretty much. There's no teams. Yes, some are being allowed to condition, but for the most part, they've been stuck at home, and hopefully parents are finding ways to be creative to get their kids involved with other friends and to just somehow stay involved. We don't want to lose all these kids forever because they didn't have a chance to play sports when they started their high school careers.
I'd like to hear from parents or from students, if you're a high school athlete yourself, if you're the parent of a high school athlete, how are you working on adapting to the limitations that are part of the pandemic when it comes to high school athletic competition? 866-893-KPECC, what's been your experience with this? And particularly if you're looking at your daughter or son in terms of, you know, college recruitment, or access to play their sport or sports at a university level. How has that gone? What are some of the ways you've tried to work within these limitations? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Eric Sondheimer is prep sports columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Eric, what about the students who, you know, when the games can resume, who might have struggled with distance learning, are they going to be academically eligible?
That's another good question. From anecdotal evidence of coaches, there are lots of people who are not going to be eligible. One of the big pluses of being on campus is you have a coach there to try and inspire you to learn, to take get your tests in, to do your homework. And they have to do it through Zoom, and that's certainly not as intimidating a coach talking to you through a computer as being in your face to make his or her point. So I definitely think that is a problem. But on the other side, I think a lot of kids are doing well through the distance learning. I know like Moore Park High School, the baseball team, had more than a dozen players with 4.0 or better grade point average, El Camino Real's
wow.
Girls soccer. So you have sometimes kids will flourish under the situation and focus on their academics when they don't have a chance to maybe play sports. But that's kind of more of a rarity, I think. Everybody wants to do both, try and do both.
Eric Sondheimer is the prep sports columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Four decades of writing on high school sports, and I've been reading him that entire time because he is incredibly plugged in with coaches, with students and parents, and just this is a world that he knows as thoroughly as anybody I know. And always a pleasure to get to talk with him about the importance of prep sports and now during this time, the huge challenges that families are dealing with their students playing and not having the chance to get out there. You mentioned the cross country is back, I think, Eric. How has that gone?
Right. So several teams have started to have meets. You're allowed to have a dual meet within your own county situation. And in Orange County, they've had a couple and everything's been going fine. I think high school sports can take action, can take off with the appropriate safety protocols. And for the most part, people are able to follow that. Obviously, cross country is outside. It's more social distancing involved, and they're limited to two teams. So that cuts down on using of transportation a whole lot. So I see that happening even more and more around the state, being able to start holding cross country meets. Obviously, the kids have to be in shape, so you'll see more and more meets coming up this month once they get into better shape.
And how are schools working at all with their students, even though they can't be in games, to do workout regimens? Are coaches allowed, for example, to do over Zoom particular workout regimens and members of the coaching staff, if they have more than a head coach, to work with the players on that?
Yes, in the Los Angeles Unified School District, that's the only thing left. They have not allowed people to work out personally with their athletes at on campuses since November, when about 50 schools were granted permission after they had to have all the athletes get tested. They had to have the coaches tested, and they allowed those schools to start working out, but it was shut down, and now they're limited to Zoom, and they have Zoom workout. But a lot of schools have opened up things again, and they're allowing conditioning on campus. Chaminade High School in West Hills is going to resume conditioning on Monday, but they're going to have weekly testing for their athletes and their coaches. So people are trying to find ways to get out there. And I think it's really important to get these kids out there conditioning. At least they get to be together and get outside and enjoy themselves.
Yeah. And you know, we know there's another huge challenge with so many families not having, good place for their kids to do even online learning. And so if you're talking about an athlete who needs some space where she or he can, you know, do their workout with their coach online, they may not have internet access or a place to do it. And just yet another thing maybe we don't think of on a daily basis, but a challenge for our young people during the pandemic. Eric, thank you as always. We appreciate it. Always enjoy reading your work, and we'll look forward to the time when it's safe for on-field and on-court competition to resume. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Eric Sondheimer is the prep sports columnist for the Los Angeles Times. We're going to stay with the Los Angeles Times columnist and with someone who I know is your favorite, Pat Morrison. We're going to talk with Pat about a wonderful column she did a couple weeks or so ago about why we care so much about our area codes. As so often the case, I just laughed out loud at the observations Pat makes. So it's going to be a pleasure to have her with us in just 90 seconds on Air Talk.